anybody want to get the enemy in a place where he can't do anything and he has no place in your life? Does anybody want to get him there? You want to get him right up under your feet where you're just treading on him every day. Is that your desire? Making sure he belongs under your feet and he's where he belongs. Amen. Is your walking material. I'd like to encourage you, because we've been in a series called Mind Battles. Mind Battles. And today's theme is we're fighting for our lives. Amen. The reason we need faith and the reason we fight for faith is because we're fighting for our lives. And the best way to fight, amen, for your life is by walking with the voice of God. Being a sheep, amen, letting him know you and following him. That is Jesus's design for every one of us. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. And so if you really want something that may help you today, make this simple, and you can really put the enemy where he belongs with confidence, and you can leave here today knowing, not guessing, but having that knowing. I know that I know that I know. Amen, that the enemy is put in his place. God has an experience for you that's going to help you do that. Now, every one of us here today, if you've been here for the last 4 or 5 weeks and you're guest, you know that you've heard, and it's in the Bible, that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Everybody agree? That you've been bought with the price of Jesus' blood, and that we've been given an opportunity from heaven, God's will, to glorify him in our body that he's allowed us to house ourselves. So you're made up of spirit, soul, and body. Everybody agree? Amen. Not body, soul, and spirit. Spirit, soul, and body. We got to get it in order. Spirit, soul, and body. God put your spirit in that body, and he allowed you to have a will, your soul. Everybody agree with this? You got to get a few nods. The temptation every day is when you get up and look in the mirror, you think that you own that body. And you're going to take that body where you want to take that body. Anybody ever do that before? And so when you do that, and when I've done that more than I want to talk about, but I'm going to talk about it, is I'm letting my soul have dominion, and I'm putting my spirit in prison. But every day when I get up, if I look at that body that I'm looking at in the mirror, and I know that it belongs to God and that it's his temple, and that the heart that he's given me, my spirit, the heart he's given me is the seat of his throne room, that he's King of Kings, and he can have dominion in the earth if I will let him have this temple to do with it what he wills. He won't make me do it. He gives me a choice. And so let's make this simple as we get into this message today, because it's a very important message. You're fighting for your life. Your spirit and God's spirit can get into fellowship in this temple. And when you agree with God's spirit, your soul comes under subjection to your spirit in agreement with God's spirit. You become one with him. Therefore, it's not your will, but his will that's going to be done. And everything that he speaks to you, not because you're smart, not because I'm smart, we get this knowing. We get this yes in our spirit because we're in fellowship with him. We know something we cannot explain, but we agree with it. Angels stand before the throne of God. They're ministering spirits that sent forth to minister to the heirs. You're an heir of salvation. They're standing before the throne of God waiting on their assignments. When you agree with the Spirit of God that's supposed to be king in your life, and you repeat what he's put in your spirit to repeat, they get their assignments and they're able to go do. Anybody ever get tired, beat up, worn out, frustrated? Did you know that's not God's will for you to be tired, beat up, wore out, frustrated? Did y'all know that? But yet we'll go to church and say, I believe in Jesus, and live all through the week beat up, frustrated, tired, because we're working hard trying to be a good person. That's not God's will. God's will is that you team up with him and you be yoked with his yoke. His yoke is light and easy. It's not heavy and burdensome. It's light and easy. He's saying you're yoked with him. And every one of us are ministers. Was Jesus a minister? What's that type in the scripture? Oxen. He's the mature ox. You're the young ox. You need to walk with him, yoked with him. So this temple, amen, can go into this earth, into your office, into your home, into your relationships, and everywhere you go, be a blessing. And at the end of the day, you're not tired. You're not beat up. You're not worn out because you wasn't trying to do angels' work. Amen. You didn't take their assignments. You let them have their assignments, and you did what you were supposed to do. Walk with the voice of God. That's Adam's assignment. For you that haven't read the Bible, please go back and start in Genesis, and you'll find out the reason Adam was put together by God and God gave him and made him a living soul was because he wanted him to walk with his voice in the cool of the day, every day. Is anybody ready to take their assignment? Amen. And realize when you get up in the morning, that body that you're looking at in the mirror belongs to God. That's the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ in me. Amen. And we're going to let the King give out assignments. And we're going to live up to the identity that he's given us. We're all in Christ. Anybody in Christ today? You bear his name. Your name is Jesus. Come on. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be. So your identity is Christ. You bear his name. You were baptized into his name. And I said all that because you're fighting for your life. Amen. 1 John 2:16, for all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And all three of those elements of the kingdom of hell is working overtime to wear you out. Amen. God has given you and I an assignment. And so we've been talking about open doors and how the enemy will come in and plunder our lives and take us into bondage. We've talked about the pride of life. We've talked about the lust of the eyes. And if you're a first-time guest, you can download this off of our webpage. Amen. And enjoy listening to what God has to tell you about those spirits that work against you being a follower of Christ. But today we're going to address the lust of the flesh. Today's message is very sobering. It's very eye-opening. I'm going to address how to fight this fight of faith. And that simply means fighting for your life. Overcoming the spirit of lust as a believer is not a suggestion. It's a must. No one is exempt from the challenge of this dark spirit. And so in Proverbs 7, we find out that there's an illustration, a story that tells us how this spirit works. Now, when I talk about flesh today, remember, flesh simply means this: a thought process, a mindset, a train of thought. I hear that train a-coming, right? Coming down the tracks. God wants you to know when the devil's talking and when to put him under your feet. Every one of us has Grand Central Station going on up in this cranium. And trains are coming in and trains are going out. And you have to make a decision which train you're going to get on. There's trains that lead to death and there's trains that lead to life. Trains of thought. And we want to be in fellowship with the one, amen, that takes us to life. Amen? So when I talk about the flesh wants to get on the train of thought that leads to death. Your flesh, your soulless nature, its attraction to the world wants you to think that you can have Jesus and the world too. But it'll wear you out. Amen? So Solomon gives us a storyline in Proverbs 7:1. My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live. What's he saying here? Fight for your life, my son, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablets of your heart. Amen. Read that word, but more than read it, listen to it and let it become who you are, right? Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. Now, in case you think this spirit is gender focused, it's not. Solomon is relaying a story to us. Men have to deal with it just like the ladies do. So it's not male nor female. It's a spirit that's after every one of us. Can we all agree with this? Verse 6. For as the window, or at the window of my house, I looked through the lattice and saw among the simple, I perceived among the youth, a young man devoid of understanding. Here's your story. A young man that's innocent, devoid of understanding, he gets entrapped with this spirit of lust, the lust of the flesh. Passing along the street near his corner, or her corner, he took the path to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. This spirit of lust will lead us to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And if he can get you by yourself, he's so successful in leading you down that road. This spirit will help you plan the details of how to operate in the spirit of lust instead of the spirit of Christ. And so in verse 10, there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and crafty heart. Now, I'm not being judgmental here. Please understand. On the contrary, I need to encourage every one of us here. There is never a reason why we should dress in a manner that accentuates our body. To do so is to promote the spirit of lust. Okay, I'm okay with silence. You're not going to bother me with being silent today because I know you're hearing this. Those who battle with the lust of the flesh are attracted by misguided affection to a manner of dress. Hear me. Being modest and discreet is a Christ-like attribute. It reflects who he is. And by the way, you can be in style and dress modest. You don't have to look all messed up and uncouth and trashed out. You can be very stylish and be modest at the same time. Ladies, let me encourage you right now. Every time you get tempted to compete with other ladies when it represents dress, know this, that's not Christ. That's that spirit trying to manipulate you so that, amen, it can get you in bondage. And by the way, when you're competing with other women, men are attracted to that. Their flesh is, not the Christ in them. Well, you had to go there, Pastor. Oh, yeah, I did. We have to talk about this because I'm not going to police nobody. I'm going to encourage you to let the Lord be your Lord in your life and you walk with God. If you can't walk with God, amen, and be empowered by God, I can't help you by being your police. But I can encourage you every day to be aware of what the enemy's doing and not be ignorant concerning his devices. We're trying to make things legal that have nothing to do with the spirit of Christ. It's in opposition to his spirit. And this spirit of lust is in our society, and it's loud and it's rebellious. Verse 11, she was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. Verse 12, at times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking in every corner. She caught him and kissed him. Now hear me now. This is important because this is how the enemy reveals his plan. When an event that is lustfully attractive shocks you, you need to turn and run. Very important. When things are said at the office from the opposite sex that shocks you, anytime that you're shocked, this is God checking you to turn and leave. Fight for your life. Not a good thing when you stop being shocked. When you stop being shocked, you're trapped and you're in bondage now. Oh, it ain't that big of a deal. Knowing good and well, Jesus ain't going there. Verse 13, so she caught him and kissed him with an impotent face. What does that mean? A forward, a very bold intent. And she says to him, I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows. What she's saying is, I went to church today. I returned God's tithe and I gave an offering. I also had peace offerings. Amen. Then when we sin, after we sin, we can offer these peace offerings. Now, this helps us understand right now, I'll be saying this, and I hope you're shocked by the fact that these things are going on in our church world. But this tells us why the divorce rate is no different than the divorce rate in the world, in the church. And this should shock you. If you're not shocked, you're already in bondage to this spirit. To the New Testament believers here today, this is what the spirit of lust is selling. I have peace offerings with me. I know what we're about to do is wrong, but we're believers, and we can repent afterwards. This is the worst kind of deception. We take the grace of God and we use it as an opportunity, amen, to feed our flesh. Paul says, don't do that. God forbid that you would do that. It's the worst kind of deception. Verse 15, so I came out to meet you, diligently to seek your face. This is the spirit of lust. And I have found you. I have spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings of Egyptian linen. This spirit of lust, this lust of the flesh, will go to detail preparation to woo us in. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Ladies and gentlemen, lust always disguises itself as love. Always. You see, love is from heaven, because that's who God is. Lust is from hell. And the world calls it making love. No, this is lust. Making love is not a one-night stand. Making love is simply spending 36 years with your spouse that gave birth to your three children. That's what making love is. And that's God's way. And I want the enemy to know today, and we're going to talk about these things because we're not going to be ignorant concerning his devices. You're God's treasure. You're special to him. And God's put you in a place where you can enjoy the best that God has to offer. And the enemy wants to take it from you. But we're here today to fight for our lives. Amen. Still reading that same chapter. Verse 19, for my husband is not at home, this spirit says. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home on the appointed day. Lust will tell you that you won't get caught. This spirit of lust will make you think everything is going to work out. I've taken care of it with God, and others are not going to catch us. Lust will convince you that you would be the first person to ever get caught if you'll follow this lust. And if we get caught, there won't be any consequences. I have to pause for a minute because the Lord told me to open up this message today and challenge you about this being the house of God right here. Not this building, but you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. The enemy wants to convince you that your God is not at home, your husband's not at home. Men and women, all of us, male or female, don't matter. We're the body of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. Have you ever felt like God was a million miles away? If you felt like God was a million miles away, it wasn't God making you feel that. It was the spirit of the lust of the flesh, because he wants to make you think your husband isn't at home. Come on. This is his house. The reason he's not at home is because the enemy's convinced us to leave him. He didn't leave us. I need you to get this today. He's a manipulator. He's a trickster. He wants to steal away your power, your honor, your glory, and your glory, amen, is God in your life. Verse 21, with her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately, he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would cost him his life. Solomon is watching this from his window, and theologians believe that Solomon sent for this man and this woman, and he executed them because the penalty, amen, for adultery was death according to the law. And this is why it was written the way it was written. He did not know it would cost his life. References the consequences. This man did not know that the king was watching. I want to encourage you today and let you know this. The enemy is going to try to tell you the king isn't watching. He's trying to convince you that nobody knows what's going on. And he's the master trickster. I'm just telling you right now. Every time you and I have been influenced by the spirit of the lust of the flesh, the enemy comes. He don't make you feel good about it neither. I was 8 years old, ladies and gentlemen, when this spirit of the lust of the flesh took away my innocence at 8 years old. And I didn't know what was going on. And I didn't realize the battle that came with it. I didn't understand the attack as an eight-year-old, what I was going through when that event took place. It made me feel guilty. It made me feel bad. That's why at age 12, amen, I was at the altar saying, God, help me. And it was there that God filled me with his spirit and his power. And he began to show me how he could help me be an overcomer of those things that were warring in my mind. And I'd go to school, and my peers and everybody, they were all talking about it. And amen. And it does not bring joy to your spirit. It does not bring hope. It brings this dirty feeling to you. It beats you up. It won't stop, and it's never satisfying. It gets worse and it gets worse. The king is watching. Verse 24, it says, now therefore listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for she has cast down many wounded. And all who were slain by her were strong men. I'm going to tell you, ain't nobody in this room that isn't powerful. Everybody in this room is powerful, according to God. God made you powerful. And anybody she's taken down, or anybody this spirit of lust has affected, amen, every one of them has been powerful. But you can just take note for a minute, amen. Men and women who fall prey to this lustful spirit, they're successful men and women. They're career men and women. They're spiritual men and women. They can be very strong, and that spirit of lust does not care. It wants to take down ministries. And you've heard of ministries that have fallen because of this spirit that's so paramount in our world. It goes to church with us. It returns God's tithe. It gives an offering, and it plays the part. Verse 27, her house is the way to hell. The Bible's telling us that adulterers and fornicators will go to the bad place if they continue. It's a train of thought that leads to death. But isn't it wonderful to know today that the blood of Jesus Christ covers our sins? And that all we need to do is just change the way we think. Take a moment right now and let that train of thought from heaven come in. Get on board with it, because it will lead to life. And you can start that ride today. Here's three words that describe the lust of the flesh. One, desire. Desire. Lust means desire. It can be either good or bad depending on the subject. Jesus actually had great desire, a fervent desire. In Luke 22:15, he said, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat the Passover with you. You see, God gives us a natural desire for sex and companionship to be fulfilled in a godly way, never in a lustful way. You need to hear this, ladies and gentlemen. Lust is simply a misguided affection. That's all it is. God intended that we would be led by His Spirit, that we would be influenced by His presence, which is not misguided. Amen? Like lust will misguide us. Satan's purpose in your life and my life is to manipulate our pure desire into an evil desire, into bondage. And he does that through this mind-battling journey that we're on, that wears us out, that beats us up, that frustrates us. At the end of the day, we're saying, Lord, help, what's going on? Why do I feel this way? Why am I beat up? And so I encourage you to consider what Paul had to say about the spirit and the flesh in relationship to one another. Galatians 5:16. Amen. When again, when I talk about flesh, I'm not talking about what you can pinch right here. I'm talking about a way of thinking, a mindset. And this is what Paul said. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, the mindsets of the enemy that come to you. You won't get on that train of thought. For the flesh, that train of thought, lust against the Spirit, that train of thought that leads to life. It's a battle going on. And the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. Paul is not writing this in a negative sense. In other words, he's simply saying this, that we can be so in love with Jesus that our passion to follow him overcomes the pull of the spirit of this lust spirit in our lives, the attractions of this world and the emotions that go with it. You can fall in love with God. How do you do that? You have to ask. Some of you are saying, man, I want to love God, right? Well, the only reason we don't love God is because we haven't asked him for desire. If today you decide, Lord, I know that in coming into fellowship with you is me giving you permission to come into my life, I'm asking you to put me on fire for you. Lord, change the way I think. Change my desire. Help me to be so into you that I just go with you wherever, and never am I pulled in by the attraction to this world. They've lost their influence on me. He promises us that he'll give us that kind of power and authority. So in Romans 8:5, so that we better understand this, for those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, come on, you're on the wrong train. That's that train of thought that leads to death, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Romans 13:14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you do that? Receive him. Come on. Get in fellowship with him. Yield to him. Let him take over his temple and be Lord of it. And make no provision for the flesh. Don't let conversations lead you down the wrong tracks. Amen. Be careful what you listen to, what you look at to fulfill its lust. Amen. The flesh wants to help you plan to make provision for fulfilling its lust. It wants to. The second word that describes the lust of the flesh is deception. Deception. Proverbs 6:23. Deception's at work in all of our lives. Just, we got desire, deception. This says it this way in verse 23 of Proverbs 6. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. To keep you from the evil woman, that spirit of lust, from the flattering tongue of the seductress. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, neither let her allure you with her eyelids. From by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread. An adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife, who Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. People, do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he's starving. Yet when he is found, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up all the substance of his house. For you that don't understand what he's saying, look, the devil, he's upset with God, and he's upset that you were chosen by God. So he's trying to take everything he can out of the house right here. He wants everything he can get. But if you turn the light on that cat, he's going to have to return everything back to you. Everything that represents your identity, amen, that almost some of us are crying about, boy, I messed up. I should have been this. I should have been that back 10 years, 15 years, 30 years ago. Let me encourage you right now. Today is a wonderful day in the Lord. Amen. If you'll let him turn the light on in your life, everything that the thief has stolen out of you because he's looking for satisfaction, he's going to have to return it sevenfold. He's going to have to give it all up. That's how special you are. We're turning the light on him. But whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. Wounds and dishonor he will get, and his reproach will not be wiped away. Is anybody hearing this today? This is real in our world. Our world is drunk on this. Drunk on it. In a godly, pure relationship, you can be satisfied. But in an impure relationship, you can't. The craving just gets worse and worse. Lust is a deceiver. Amen. Proverbs 27:20. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. This is what God says to Israel through Ezekiel. Amen. He says, you played the harlot with the Assyrians. This is God's so-called church in the Old Testament. The church was playing the harlot with the Assyrians because you were insatiable. In other words, you were unsatisfied. Indeed, you played the harlot with them and still were not satisfied. Lust is an empty promise, and its cravings only elevate and get more impure. Which leads us to the third word that describes the lust of the flesh: death. And we're talking about this train of thought right now. I hear that train a-coming. You can learn the voice of God. Amen. You can have fellowship with the voice of God, but you can also know the voice of the enemy. And the voice of the enemy is always going to be coaching you to go contrary to where God's going. And when you're pulled into it, and you can be pulled in it, and you want to be Christ-like, and you want to be God's man and woman, and you be pulled into it, it's leading to this third word called death. James 1:14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires. And that word desire means lust in the negative sense. And enticed. Then when desire or lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Paul says to the believers in Rome, he says, if in verse 13 of chapter 8, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. But that goes back to the opening of the day. If you decide that this body belongs to God and that you're going to make your spirit join, amen, with God's spirit, your soulless nature, the will that you have. Remember when Jesus was in the garden, what did he do? He drank the cup. Not my will, but your will be done. Come on. You're starting to get this. That Jesus, the Son of God, made up his mind that his spirit was going to be interwoven, amen, with his Father's spirit. And that temple was going to be for the purpose, amen, of God's will being done. And he's teaching us, Jesus is teaching us how to walk in the Spirit. Make your will, your personal will, submit to God's Spirit. Join with God's Spirit. your spirit comes alive, your soul gets subject to it, and now you're going to see the fingerprint of God at work. The enemy is going to be put in his place. Death has no sting. It has no power over you. Amen? And so the spirit of love always brings life. The spirit of lust always brings death. Amen? And so we may not die a physical death immediately when we entertain the lust of the flesh. But like Adam and Eve, for instance, they didn't physically die that day, but they spiritually died that day. How many believers are attending church today and they're dying spiritually because of the lust of the flesh they're entertaining? Their spiritual desire for God is dead. Their desire for the lost and serving the lost, serving others, is dead. And now their passion is misguided for evil. And they can't get enough of feeding self. And so I have to encourage you today, if the evidence of a believer is not following you, if being a witness is not something that you're seeing the evidence that I'm a witness in, you need to question, amen, where you are in your salvation today. It's important. God wants to ask you that question. So why are marriages dying? How many families have been destroyed because of this lust of the flesh at work in their lives? How many promotions that you would have got on the job or raises you would have received, amen, but you didn't because this lust was at work in your life? What about how many businesses have died because lust distorted that creative, that innovative mind? Lust entraps. It takes us into bondage, spirit, soul, and body. So I ask you the question as I close here right now. What is the solution? What is the solution? There's two things that's important for this solution to happen, and that's deliverance and discipleship. Deliverance and discipleship. Now, remember, we started out this series on mind battles, and we learned that you cannot cast out the flesh. Neither can you disciple a demon. Did we all agree with that? It's not possible to disciple a demon. But you can't cast out the flesh as well. Many will tell you in Christianity that you need deliverance. And deliverance is all you need. You're good if you get delivered. But let me tell you something. After you're delivered, you must become a disciple of Jesus. Our thinking needs to be retrained. Amen? In other words, we have to get off the train that we were on. Amen? And get on another train. Because you can't keep thinking the same way. Amen? God wants to change your heart so that you can get on the right train of thought and go to life. But then there's those who try to discipline the flesh, and they ignore the darkness and the evidence that the demons are at work in their life. I'm just going to make myself a better person. I'm going to work harder. Amen. I'm going to make myself line up with God's will. I'm going to read the word, memorize the word. Amen. I'm going to discipline myself to be. Can't do that, ladies and gentlemen. You cannot disciple a demon. You have to do what with a demon? Cast it out. Jesus taught this to all of us here. He talked it to those he followed him as disciples. We're to preach the gospel, we're to heal the sick, and we're to cast out demons. And sometimes you have to pause and make sure the demons you've been warring with are cast out. In 2 Corinthians 10:3, Paul addresses deliverance and he addresses discipleship. Notice how he says it to the Gentile group that, man, they got all kinds of baggage. They know little about the law, and that's kind of to their advantage, amen? Because now they can learn how to walk in the Spirit. Notice what he says here, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. This is a true believer. This is one that has let Jesus be Lord in their life. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. And this stronghold is definitely interpreted a train of thought. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Train of thought. Got it? Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Oh, man, he's the King of Kings in my life right now. Everything I think about, I'm going to make sure I measure it against Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's why Paul said, I don't want to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Every thought I think has to be measured through that humble act, that act of mercy, that act of grace in my life. Revelation 12 tells us that John is the one, he says, Jesus tells him, he says, amen, you're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Blood and word, deliverance, discipleship. The only way we're going to get where we're going to destination, capital L-I-F-E, amen, is we must be delivered and discipled. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. And ladies and gentlemen, not being derogatory, but it's more than me and you just saying a prayer for one another. And us agreeing that Jesus is right. It's an experience in God that you cannot question. You get a knowing that changes your life. It changes your world. It puts that spirit of lust and pride under your feet. Freedom ministry, freedom encounters are not a suggestion at New Life Fellowship. It's a mandate. Everybody needs deliverance. If you're not delivering and you're warring right now and you know, my God, that today's message, boy, that's been hitting me. I've been tempted. I've been beat up. I have been manipulated by the enemy. And you're wore out and you're tired. It's time for freedom. It's time for life. But not only that, we do growth track around here. We do equip classes. Why? Because you need to be discipled. It's not a suggestion, ladies and gentlemen. If you're only attending on Sundays and you're encouraged by the word, you need to spend some time with the body of Christ being discipled. It's necessary that we walk with him. And you cannot walk with him and be a member of the body and detached. The membership of God's body is attached to the body. For what reason? Blood flow. Without blood, you don't have life. We need life today. And so that stronghold, amen, it's a powerful thing for us to consider today because the Lord wants to be our stronghold. You're never going to understand Jesus. Please hear me. You're not going to understand Jesus until he gives you understanding. And then you're going to not be able to explain it. It's the way it is. We're not designed to know, figure God out. We're designed to have fellowship with God. And so the enemy's going to come to you because you don't understand things about God, and he's going to try to give you, amen, this idea that you can figure God out, and next thing you know, you'll make yourself judge because you know what's good and bad. And that's a trick. He's wanting to wear you out. But you can walk with God. You can fellowship with God, and you can see God at work in your life and the lives of others. And you can be at rest. You can be full of peace and joy. You can have fun. You can be a kid again. Strongholds, trains of thought. Our minds are like Grand Central Station. These trains of thoughts are coming in and they're going out. They're coming in, they're going out. And you've got to make up in your mind which ones you're going to cast down and which ones you're going to embrace. This is how we get on a train of thought in life. Philippians 4, Paul says to the brethren and to the sisters, finally, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, or if there is any virtue, and anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Get on the right train of thought. Amen. He says to the Corinthians, another Gentile group. He says, bringing, 2 Corinthians 10 to 5, bringing every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Christ. What do you mean, Pastor? Take every thought at spear point. Let every thought that comes in know, hey, I need to know where you're coming from. What spirit you're of. Oh, I can hear you. You know, the prodigal could smell the pig's pen before he walked into it. He could smell it before he ever got there. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. You can tell when it's the devil talking. You can tell when it's the devil coming. You have been wired by God. You've been given his DNA. You can tell. You have been given a sixth sense. You're powerful. Don't depend on your other five. Depend on that sixth sense. It's in you. Amen. Stir it up with the gift of God in your life. Begin to know. Amen. Three things that you need to know about strongholds that I'm closing right now is that a stronghold is a fortress, number one. But you want to make sure it's the right one, because the enemy wants to get you all bent out of shape and frustrated and beat up in your marriage and all your relationships, so that you get used to running to the wrong stronghold, and that's where you will die. A stronghold is a fortress, a desired place to run for safety. But if you go to the wrong one, it becomes, number two, a prison. A prison of deception, because you're on the wrong train of thought. And that prison of deception that has you, amen, in prison, now is taking you down to the third one, a tomb. A tomb of death. And the finished work of the lust of the flesh is that you die. Peter made a profound statement. Amen. To the church in 1 Peter 2:11, he said, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against your soul." Fleshly lust is going to come to your soul, not your spirit. It's going to come to your flesh makeup. That's your soul. And it's going to keep tempting you, saying, "Oh, God's okay with that. He don't mind. Did God say?" He's going to come. And it's going to be tempting you to pull and pulling on you to bring this into your life and feed your soul instead of feeding your spirit. It wars against you to stop you from making the right decision.